The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Alumni Ventures. Invest with confidence. Discover the power of venture investing with Alumni Ventures, America's largest venture firm for individual investors. Learn more at av.vc.
LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO at Diverse and Engaged. I am a DEI thought leader, a LinkedIn top voice, and I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita.
Hey there, DC Marshall. I'm Mita Malik, a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestselling author, a business leader, a LinkedIn top voice, and most importantly, a mom.
And if you all have been listening to the show, you know that Mita and I started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces. From my perspective as a Black woman, and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman, at our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out of our stories. We always have the yummiest stories. And then we provide you with tips you need on not how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are. All right, so let's get into it today. So Mita, what are we talking about on the show?
All right, Dee, let's spill some tea on this topic. My manager just doesn't care. My manager just doesn't care. So Dee and I are going to spill the tea, unpack some stories, go down memory lane, and we will leave you with tips at the end, both for women of color and allies. Thank you for being here.
As soon as you said, my manager just doesn't care, I thought, okay, doesn't care about, and I went through filling in the blank, care about, and Y and Z and all the things. But I'm excited to first hear the story. And actually, the disclaimer, listen, managers are amazing people. Listen, we were all managers at some point. So the disclaimer is we are here to hold up, and actually not just to hold up, but to hold up and help managers, people leaders, and all of that good stuff. So before we get into the story, just know that it's all good and with the purpose and the intent of helping us all to do better and to be better in organizations wherever we are.
Disclaimer, friends, there's a disclaimer. So I'm going down memory lane. And, you know, you and I coach a lot of leaders over the years, you particularly with Diverse and Engaged and all your Fortune 50 clients, myself working in organizations. And I was recalling a story early in my career. So I had interviewed at this company and I really wanted the job because it was a flashy big brand that at the time mattered to me. And do you know that I liked everybody I interviewed with except my future boss? But I still took the job because I liked everybody else and I really liked the brand and the company. So, oh God, my manager just didn't care. He was so disengaged. And I know you're going to fall off your chair when I tell you this, but he would basically fall asleep in almost every other meeting.
He did not.
Yes, he did.
Live or on Zoom?
Live.
Live? Shut up, Mita, stop
no.
it.
No, I'm not even making this up. I know my brother and mom know this story.
Let's set the scene. So we are a team of what, seven? And let me understand, dude, boss, let's call him boss. We're not going to do the naming. Boss is at the head of the table. Boss is how old about? Like, what's the age range?
Probably in his 30s. This was like early
at the
in
time,
my
career. Mita, he's 30 and falling asleep at the job.
Yes, he is. D, I have witnesses. I have my husband, I have my mother, and I have my brother, because this is a legendary story. So he would show up, boss would show up, usually between 10 and 10:30, sometimes later. Now, this is back in the day. This is before I had children. So I was at work at 7:30. I would be there early, and this is like, I would stay there late. Unfortunately, it was a place where FaceTime mattered, right? It was just the place we were in. And 10:30, roll out at 4:45, 4:30.
Boss is rolling out at 4:45?
He just didn't care. And then, I'm not joking, we would do like meetings around, we're launching a product, we're getting the whole cross-functional team together. He's in there, nodding off in meetings, sometimes not showing up to the meetings, then later being like, you didn't invite me to the meeting. I said, yeah, I did. You didn't show up to the meeting. I mean, even the vice president at the time would be like, I'm going to use D. It would be like, D, D, D. She would shout loudly because she saw him nodding off.
The VP is in the meeting with boss and boss is falling asleep. Now boss reports to VP?
Yes. No, boss, sorry. Boss reports to a director who reports into the VP. But it was, you know, we were in lots of big meetings together.
No, Mita, stop. Time out.
I can't. So this is VP. Not, I know I haven't shared this with you yet, but I've really been thinking about this story and why this company allowed this to happen. I'm finished, but you know what? I have receipts. For anyone who's listening who doesn't believe this, I have witnesses and I have receipts. And so I'm sharing this as an extreme example of when your boss doesn't care, your manager doesn't care. But it's actually what I was trying to unpack is there's harassment, there's discrimination, there's racism, there's sexism. There are things, we call them by their right name, that happen in our workplaces. That's why we have the Brown Table Talk podcast. And then there are things like this that also erode culture.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to stop because I know you have a lot to say. But don't, it is true, Dee. It is a true story.
I do not doubt, but I'm just, there's a lot here. He's 30. And back then, 30 was young. I think, well, I don't know if he was a manager.
I don't know how old he was. I think he was in his mid-30s, to be honest. I don't remember. I don't know.
Okay. So, all right. Well, just to level set, right. So we are talking about when managers don't care and their behavior indicates they just don't care. Care about the company or care about the work or care about showing up as their best. Where, to level set, where we as a Black woman over here, I don't have the luxury to not show up as my best, okay? Right? You don't have the luxury. So that's what we're talking about. Managers don't care for whatever reason, fill in the blank. But
can I just say, we don't have the luxury to take naps in meetings. There, I said it. Go ahead.
But that's what I'm saying. We don't have the luxury to be average, to be mediocre, and to be messy. Write that down, somebody. So we're talking about when managers don't care or their behavior indicates that they do not care for whatever reason. So let's unpack this a bit. So I think for this, it is about, okay, managers not caring, but what I also see is being unprofessional, not being prepared, not being responsible in the role. I think that's some of what this experience is, not being professional, mature, just there's so many things. But let me just tell you the bigger issue here. We're going to go on to this story and then we're going to move on to other ways that managers don't care and how this is not helpful to if you're a woman of color in professional spaces right now when you have managers who don't care. This manager, I'm going to make up a story. They knew his managers and the higher ups knew his behavior and they allowed it to happen. And what is toxic to corporate culture, because that's what our show is about, right? Our juicy stories about how to make them make sense in corporate culture. That is an indication that there's a problem and he's not the problem. The organization is a problem. You know why? Because whenever there is a problem within an organization, for the most part, it has a lot to do with the leader of the organization that tolerates, that either tolerates or allows. Now, a lot of times leaders, if they're a few levels removed, they may not know what's happening at a lower level in the organization. But boss, whoever he reported to, the VP, everybody who's witnessing all of that, it's their responsibility and they are the people who don't care because boss is going to be boss. He's going to be messy. But I believe if there is a manager who is or a leader who is witnessing that kind of behavior, it's do they care? Because they have two responsibilities of care for allies and people leaders. Right now, you have two levels of care. One, we are to look at boss, to be quite honest. Like, what is going on with boss? Because here's the deal. Is he okay?
Hey, I'm Michael Kovnat, host of The Next Big Idea Daily. The show is a masterclass in better living from some of the smartest writers around. Every morning, Monday through Friday, we'll serve up a quick 10-minute lesson on how to strengthen your relationships, supercharge your creativity, boost your productivity, and more. Follow The Next Big Idea Daily wherever you get your podcasts.
this is where I just go back and forth in that situation because it lasted for a long time. But here's what I will say as I fast forward. I actually, 10 months into that job, new management came and the vice president at the time saw my potential and promoted me. So I got boss's job and boss was moved on to another team. But that's also like a white man as an ally showed up and said, I see this woman's potential. She's the one doing all this work while this guy's falling asleep in meetings, showing up late. But here's the other crazy thing, Dee. I just got to add, the story doesn't end. He sat in that cubicle next to me. He would be taking calls from recruiters. And so I'll never forget when I found out he made $110,000 a year because he said it out loud. And I thought to myself, I can't even believe he makes that much money and he's falling asleep in meetings. But what I want, there's two parts to this conversation that I love that you brought up, is that the responsibility of leaders, your culture becomes defined by the worst behavior you will tolerate. And that is the behavior they tolerated again and again from this person. But then also leaders needing to check in on people and just say, you know, boss, I think it's time for you to move on. And let me help you do that because you don't seem happy here anymore. In fact, I can hear you taking recruiter. Go to a conference room. Book a conference room. You don't care to the level that you are taking calls from your cubicle where the executive assistant is across from you and your direct report is next to you. Like that's the level of disengagement we're talking about and how it can erode culture.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's unacceptable. And I think it's really important for leaders to identify and call out behavior that is unacceptable. It's your first order of business is always to check in on your people, check in on the person who is falling asleep. Are you okay? Because somebody is listening to us now, not knowing that, no, we know that there could be something else behind, there is something else behind it, whether it's managing other external dynamics at home, it could be an illness, it could be any of that, it could be a substance. I'm going to be quite honest, that's a substance.
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, I knew. Let me tell you why. Sidebar, juicy story. Come over here to the side. Let me whisper it to you. There was once a story of this on Wall Street. It was like a big banker. It was written up in the Wall Street Journal. It was, when I tell you it was juicy gossip, because whoever the big guy was on Wall Street, the son was also in banking and would be falling asleep. How do I know this juicy tea? I was obsessed because I worked on Wall Street at the time. It was in the Wall Street Journal. It was in the Wall Street Journal. And they would write, yes. So, and it was an illegal substance. So, but let me come out of that and also say, for anybody who's struggling with illegal substance or substance abuse, many corporations have a responsibility or they take responsibility for helping folks out of it. Fortunately and unfortunately, I never have seen an experience where the people look like me. They're typically, it's a privilege. It's if you have a substance abuse, if your lack of care is attributable to a substance abuse issue, and I'm probably wrong about this, but I'm just going to say what I believe and what I've seen. If you are high level with a substance abuse, you have the privilege to go away.
Do a sabbatical.
Come back. There you go. Do a sabbatical. So I want to come back and just say we're sensitive to, there was probably a number of things behind that, but it was the high level leaders who have a responsibility. And I love that you had an ally there.
I mean, it went on for 9 months. 9 months this went on. And so the question, I love what you're asking, is checking in on people, because I do think there were other things going on there, but he was my boss. There was power dynamics. And I'm like, I don't, other than asking, are you okay? Can I be doing anything for you? And why are you asking me that? I'm like, okay, well, I don't clearly have enough power in this relationship for you to respect me. But you know what it comes down to? There was the obviously potentially, and I love that you brought that up because I didn't think about the substance abuse piece. It was a lack of blatant disrespect for being there. The taking the calls and looking for a new job, sitting in your cubicle, the showing up late to meetings, not showing up at all, coming and going as you please. Then lashing out at people because you didn't come to a meeting that you were included in. I mean, it goes on and on. If there was a huge meeting with the president, he walked in 45 minutes late. I started presenting his materials because he wasn't there. And so the question is like, what? And you know, this story, yes, may sound exaggerated to you. It is not. It is. I have receipts. It is true. And this story is happening elsewhere, right? As people are listening in on this podcast, it's like, why are we allowing this behavior to continue? Because this is when the toxicity starts in our companies, right? This is when the toxicity starts to seep through. My question though, Dee, for you is, what can you do if you're in the position? Because we've talked about the responsibility of leaders, and you've mentioned that, what leadership should have done. But what if you're the person, you're the individual contributor working for a manager who doesn't care, who's disengaged, who has a lack of blatant respect for the team and the workplace, and actually in a way that he wasn't actively doing things to me, but the way in which he was disrespecting the team and the workplace was negatively impacting me.
Yeah. I think that's a hard call if there isn't a direct, clear, and specific targeted offense, and it's just culture, right? So those are two different things. It's easier to identify, recognize, and even when appropriate, have to address something specific. But when it is just a behavior, it's just way of being that is part of the culture. It's difficult. It's hard. I would always ask the question, so is this a place that aligns with your values? Some people, I always get pushed back. I'm like, well, Dee, you know, it's not easy to leave your job. I didn't ask you to leave your job. I just said, you know, you have to sometimes grow in such a way as a professional where you make decisions about the places you engage, particularly the place where you spend the majority of your waking hours, your work. Decide, is this the company or the values here aligning with my values? And is the culture here, is it life-giving or life-draining? Is it, you know, that is part of the question. Because otherwise, that behavior was part of the culture that was allowed. So to try to address something specifically in a culture where it's already, everybody has insight and no one is doing anything, it's then what you have to weigh it. So if I am to raise this issue, how might this go when this won't be new information? Like, people know. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know that there is something specific to address in a culture that tolerates it. Because you're either deciding, this doesn't align and I probably need to transition, or you decide, you know what, I'm going to take this on. This is going to be my battle. And I'm going to change the culture here. I'm going
to
change.
And that's a personal decision you have to make. But, you know, part of me, as we head into tips, I would sit in these meetings. I'm like, does everyone else see this behavior? Am I losing my mind? Like, I'm watching this happen over and over again, day after day, week after week, month after month, and everyone's just tolerating it. Like you said, everyone's just tolerating it. They know.
And you know why. You know why. One is privilege. One is privilege. Two is like, that's the culture. And three, that's, I'm going to say, John's nephew. That's Mary's brother. That's Mary, who is the assistant to the CEO. That's our brother.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it is. Because you're like, how does this go on and on?
And Mary's brother, I'm going to be quite honest, went the alternate route. So you know how many of us went the four-year, that institution, there's the HBCU, the PWI, but then there's another institution. Mary's brother was probably, do you understand?
And so I understand this, what you're saying.
But see, boss didn't want to be there. You heard him in the cubicle saying, I don't want to be here. Can you get me out of here? This is part of his
dating his salary. I'm like, you get paid how much to fall asleep in meetings?
Do you see? So let's cut away the tips. Let's go.
Okay, this is all right. I know I stumped you today, but this had to have been said. It had to have been said. It's the disengagement is real. Okay, Dee, I know I stumped you with that story. That was pretty good. Juicy. We're heading over to tips right now. And again, today's conversation was around my manager just doesn't care. So I'm going to hand it over to Dee to talk about tip one and two, but from the perspective of leaders and those who have power in the workplace.
Yep. So tip number one, check on the people. Check on the people. And you're checking on the person. So the manager who appears to not have a care in the world, you got to check in. Is everything okay? And then you're checking in on the people that person impacts, the direct team. So that is number one, and a responsibility of all leaders to always start by checking on the people. Tip number two, You're checking in on the culture. The culture or the behavior that you tolerate is really an indication of the culture. So as a leader, you have to ask yourself the question, is this behavior contributing to a toxic culture? And you're evaluating, is it healthy, unhealthy, or toxic? I'm going to go over to Mita for tip number 3.
I love that. I'm going to evoke what my good friend DC Marshall said, which is this is a personal choice. You have to make a calculation, a personal decision. If you are, like I was, an individual contributor working for a manager who is disengaged, are you going to stay and try to help change the culture? Or is it time for you to move on and go work somewhere where you're valued and you're appreciated and you're celebrated? And with that, my friends, thank you so much for being here. Dee and I so appreciate you. If you love this conversation, please share it with someone who needs it to hear it today. Please review, please subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.